Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that is so interesting, I think, is when we celebrate baptism. Now, one of the things we're going to do today, whenever I have an infant baptism, the hymn for baptism is Children of the Heavenly Father, which is what we are, Children of the Heavenly Father. And I always had so much fun when Garen was here and Bjorn would come, because they're Norwegian. Okay. We have a member of our church that lives in Norway. Okay. Which one of these Sundays I was thinking, you know what we ought to do? Is call her up during, and then and she's got a birthday cake around too. But anyway, if we do that, she would be so tickled. Well, one of the things that was so cute, when I was in Safford, Arizona, I went to a Norwegian Lutheran church. And boy, you got to like the Lutefisk lesson. But I had four Norwegians who could speak Norse. And they always sang Children of the Heavenly Father in Norse. And then when I said, but if you look at the bottom of the hymnal, when we get into it, it said it's a Swedish hymn. Well, anyway, both Bern and Bjorn said, well, it is a Swedish hymn, but we sing it. So I always got a kick out. Well, baptism is important, isn't it? And especially when we have people like St. Paul telling us what he did. Go back in your... You notice I didn't have any black ones because I wanted to make this part of my sermon. Go to page 3. And the last paragraph we have in the epistle lesson, just before the Alleluia, where it starts. Now, if we have died with Christ, I'd like to have all of us say that together. That's our text for today. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Die no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. One of the things that is so important is we had the church fathers referring back to a document the apostles wrote called the Didache. In Greek, Didache means the teaching. Well, we knew it, we didn't have a copy of it. We do know that we found a copy of it in the Dead Sea Scrolls when they were found in the late 40s. However, as I was doing research for this, I was surprised because, let me read this to you. This came out of the Wikipedia. I cheated. Is that one? The also titled The Teaching of the Lord to the Gentiles through the 12 Apostles, was written in Greek, but was discovered in the library in Constantinople in 1873. Didn't make it over here. The date of its original work, its authorship, and provenance are unknown, but we know the apostles wrote down instructions for this teaching after the First Jerusalem Council in AD 49. And we know that because it's written in the Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 15. And in the letters of Paul, which we heard this morning in Romans. I find that very interesting. Well, look at it this way. You know what I have always said. If the apostles said it, and apostles wanted it, I think we ought to do it. And so, when we look at baptism, it's important. Well then, why? Here's what the Didache says about it. The procedure for baptizing is as follows. After rehearsing all the preliminaries, immersing running water, quote, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, unquote. If running water is available, not available, immerse in ordinary water. This should be cold if possible. Otherwise, warm is okay. I ask you. If neither is practical, then sprinkle water 3 times on the head in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The De Gaudete also goes on to say that there are 3 ways to be baptized. Fire, water, and word. How many times, you know, in a church, has anybody ever said fire and water? You've heard that? We didn't. I never had that experience. You know, so it's normal. You know, and it's sad because we don't do that. It's just like, you know, sermons on the Holy Spirit. Okay, but here's where the De Gaudete says that even if you're baptized, you fire the word. That if sooner, well, sometime after that, you need to go through a water baptism. Well, why? Well, we in the Lutheran Church recognize 2 sacraments. Okay? Sacrament. That's a Latin word, isn't it? The Greek word where sacrament comes from is called mysterium. Mystery. A sacrament is a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Because we can't understand it. You know, it's like the pastor I got this from. Is the thing is, it's below my, above my pay grade. Okay? And the thing is, we can't understand it. We do it because it is so important that even Jesus went through it. And like John said to him, he said, Lord, you ought to be baptizing me, not you. He says, no. We're all in righteousness. You need to do this. And he did. And what does God say afterwards? This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And I added what's in one of the other Gospels. Listen to him. All right. Is baptism new? No. The Jews went through a ritual cleaning before they entered the temple. Sometimes, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you'll see these areas that were actually cool for the Jews to go in and wash before they entered the temple grounds. Same thing as baptism. They also believed in baptism. Not just to cleanse, but as an act. So, in the New Testament, baptism was first done by John the Baptist by immersion in the River Jordan. This was called a baptism of repentance. Moral forgiveness of sins, moral purification and cleansing. Well, a lot of those are in Jesus' baptisms too, correct? But what is in addition to the baptism we go through here? It's just not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's an exorcism. In fact, I should have brought this up, but I can't get this too long today. Luther, in our baptismal service, had what we call the flood prayer, where he ties the cleansing of baptism into the cleansing of the flood. And it's right there, I say it, every time we have a baptism. Okay? Is it all the Lutheran hymns? Is it true? Of course it is. Okay? Because God cleansed the world through the flood, Jesus cleanses us through baptism. Yes? Alright, now you notice I said Jesus cleanses us. But what happens during baptism? The evil spirits leave, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're told to go to baptism, but it's our relationship that begins with the Holy Spirit through baptism. And I find that very interesting. Now, you can go through a lot of things. In the early church, you were supposed to fast for 2 days, not only a person who was going to be baptized, but the person who was going to do the baptism. Okay? The idea of fasting is a cleansing. How many of you ever fasted? It's a pretty big trial, isn't it? Okay? That's why you don't do it. Out of the mouth of faith. But part of the thing is, too, when we go to baptism, it is important. You know, one of the things, if you think, you know, I had somebody argue with me one time, that only immersion baptism is real. No, you just heard from the apostles. They said, if you can't do it that way, sprinkling's okay. However, as I told you, I had that one lady one time, Walmart, tell me my baptism wasn't real or effective. And I said, why? Well, when I was immersed, my elbow was out of the water. What is baptism? Well, we believe that a sacrament is a visible means and the Word. All right, so if we have the Word of God tied to visible means, we can have a sacrament. All right, now let's get into this. What's more important? The visible means or the Word of God? Always the Word of God. All right, so the apostles told us, if you don't have running water, this is okay. Guess who believed in immersion and baptism? Luther. But it would be tough. Folks, look, you know in Acts 2 when we talk about the apostles going in and 5,000 people came to the Lord that day? All right, I don't know about you, but if you do the math, okay, we only had 11 apostles, correct? Because Judas was gone, okay? Now, when it says 5,000 men came to the Lord, what about their wives and kids? All right, let's double that, 10,000. Okay, 11 people doing 10,000 baptisms in one day. Now, that's not counting with preaching. You got to preach to get them turned on and go to baptism, right? How long does it take to do an immersion baptism? Well, get down about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. But, man, you have to do 1,000 people. That's 1,000 minutes. Let's see, 60 minutes in an hour, 10 hours would be 600. See where I'm going with this? It ain't possible. Those people were brought to the Lord by the Word. Okay? So they were baptized in the Word of God. That's 1600. You can't. Plus, they had to preach to get them to go there. You know, so all you got to do, all that stuff is in the Bible, but you got to think when you read the Bible. Right? How many of us do that? Well, yeah, but. Yeah, I like to go back. But part of the thing is that when we read, many times we just read it to read, and we miss a lot of the important things that are in there. Say again? Good. Oh, true. Now, what are the words that are the promises of God? Mark, last chapter of Mark. Jesus says this, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. There's the hard part right there, isn't it? Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. You know, because faith is what? It's a belief in things unseen. So, what baptism does to us, is it seen or unseen? Well, we see it done, but the action is what it is. So through faith, we believe. Where does faith come from? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. See how all of this ties together? Okay, now, how can water do such great things? Well, it's not just water. We already talked about it, but the Word of God. And it's through the faith, which not only has God for us, but it's our trust in God where our faith works. For without God's Word, what is that? Water. Does it have any power? No. Is there magic? Oh, I'm going to be one of the magicians, three magi. From the last one. Okay. Does it change anything? Nope, still water. Okay. But with the Word of God and the grace of God, it has power. It's a life-giving water. Those who believe in me will never thirst. Okay. St. Paul talks about this more in Titus. We had the one from Romans. Here's what it is in Titus. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. That's from Titus 3. Now, important verse here. Having the hope of eternal life. So, we go through the baptism. We become part of God's family. We receive the grace of the Lord. Can we lose the grace of the Lord? What about Jeffrey Dahmer? Good Lutheran boy. How many of you knew that? The LCA? Well, we don't. He could have asked forgiveness at the end. I guess we would see in heaven. But the thing is that when we start looking at this, the hope of eternal life, does this give eternal life to which you and I are talking about? No. It brings us into the family. What brings us the eternal life? The cross. Okay. And it's the saving grace. That's why we do this of the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. It is through the blood of Christ that we are renewed. Okay. Family, salvation. That's why we have the two sacraments. Does that make sense to you? Okay. That's Lutheran theology. Steve and Linda, has anybody ever said this to you before in this way? I'll put you on the spot. Well, part of the thing is, when we went through the catechism, I'm going to quote you today, if that's all right. Okay. I handed out the catechism to Gene. And he came back, what, Sunday? It was on Wednesday in Bible study. He came back. He had read the entire catechism. And he said, this is the first time I'm going to, I hope I don't screw this up, this is the first time I've seen my faith laid out in a logical manner, backed up by Scripture. He said, do all Lutherans know this? And I said, well, we all go through it. But usually as a kid, we go through it once and then we're supposed to remember. I don't know about you, but I don't remember that stuff. But at least you're exposed to it. Which is why I think sometimes it's important for us to do things like this, which is more of a historical sermon. Okay. But yet now, what does this do for us? And I'm starting to come into this when I'm talking about this. Brings us into the family of God, doesn't it? We become some of God's children, and He becomes our Heavenly Father. Hey, that sounds like a pretty good hymn, doesn't it? Oh, come on, you can laugh, but wasn't that bad? Okay. But, you know, when we come into this kind of stuff, it's important to remember that to go to a baptismal font is not law. Remember, one of the quotes I think I shared this with you is to preach, teach, and confess the proper distinction between law and gospel. Well, if this isn't law, what is it? Gospel. The baptismal font is gospel. Why is it gospel? Because it brings us the good news of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. And so when we do that, we're not doing it because we have to. It's because it is gift to us. And how do we know that? Because faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit which enters into us at the time of baptism. I've already said that once. And I'll probably say it one more time. You know, it's one of the times when I was learning how to do public speaking and teaching. You know, you tell them what you're going to say, you say it, and then you tell them what you just said. Okay? Well, part of the thing is, by the time you hit it once, three or four times, you might remember. Okay. Do we believe that this is absolutely necessary for salvation? Where did salvation come from? Okay. The blood and the body, which is actually the bread and wine, and the cross. Alright, so there is a distinction then between the sacrament and that sacrament. But it's a necessary sacrament. And it's necessary for us to enter into the heaven. And I don't know where. the old Adam is thrown out. Pardon? The old Adam is drowned. Well, I'm here today, though. So. Yeah, the old Adam drowned, thrown out, so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't work. Boy, that is. But just remember, you can deny Christ. You can turn on Him. What do you have to do to get back to God? With a pure and contrite heart. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. We're doing the full liturgy today so we can sing, create in me a clean heart, O God. Why? Because it's so important. And again, Lynn, on the, you remember when that was in the TLH, the old Luther demo? We threw it out. Yeah, they tricked you. Yeah, but why? That actually was in the original German Mass that Luther wrote with the same melody. Disinfected. I don't know how to say it, but maybe either. You know, but why take out the basic gospel that is so reassuring? Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew, baptismal renewal, that right spirit within me. Isn't that beautiful? So, and where is it? Is it in the New Testament? No, Old Testament. It's not far in gospel in the two books of the Bible, is it? The Old Testament. Explain. Well, I've gone on long enough. That's almost 20 minutes. But folks, may what we learn in our day, in our experience in baptism, help keep our hearts and minds on Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen.